Our guest today is the co-founder and CEO of Intersect Illinois. He is a fifth-generation Illinoisan, an agribusiness entrepreneur, and a private equity executive. Our guest today earned his MBA at Northwestern. He earned his law degree in DePaul and his bachelor's degree from Southern Methodist University. He currently lives in Effingham, although he grew up in Two-Topless, Illinois. Did I say that right? Two-Topless, Illinois. We got any lawyers here? I might need one. He and his wife, Laura, raised their three sons there, Jamie, John, and Charlie. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Schultz. Jim, thank you.
All right, thank you. Jay, thank you. It's great to be here. A lot of friends and new friends and old friends and colleagues. So thank you for the opportunity to speak and tell you a little bit about what Governor Rauner and I are trying to do with Intersect Illinois. My objective today is to educate you on why we're doing Intersect Illinois and a little bit about what I have found in my 2 years of working for Governor Rauner in my role. But to digress a second, my hometown is a town of 600 people. I grew up 100 yards from where my great-great-grandfather founded the community. He settled the community in 1840. And when I took this position, I thought about what he did when he came over from Germany and settled the community and took big risk and kind of my obligation to give back to the state in a way that I think we all should do. And so this is my tenure to do that. I'm helping my friend Bruce Rauner try to turn around the state. I think he's fighting some good battles to do the right things to make Illinois a better state for the next generation. And I think that's all of our obligation. It's not about what we get from it, but what we can do for the next generation. So when I took the position in Governor Rauner's cabinet, I drove out of Springfield that cold January night, 2 days after the inauguration, and thought about it and said, you know, I really don't want to do this. I've come from 30 years in the private side, no aspiration to run for office, but I really felt that Bruce was trying to do the right thing, and I still believe he is. I think he's trying to fix things and, again, make it a better state and leave behind something that is better than what we took when we received it. So in my role, what I've done is I've traveled the state extensively. I've visited with a lot of mayors, visited various counties. I've been to almost all parts of the state. One of my goals was to get to all 102 counties. I'm four short. I will get to one next week, so I'm slowly ticking those off my list, not as any kind of major accomplishment, but just to understand the state. And this is a phenomenal state. And I'm going to tell you a little bit at the end about some of the successes we're having because of how we market the state. But think about some of the statistics about our state. We have 36 Fortune 500 companies here. We have a triple-hub airport system with O'Hare and Midway. We have all seven Class 1 rails converge here. We have a great riverway and roadway system. I call it, if you need an R, you need one of five R's, you want to be in the state of Illinois. Those five R's are, if you need a rail, a road, a runway, a river, or a router, you better come here. I shared some data recently on just all the amount of data traffic that comes from Illinois. If you've not seen it, the University of Illinois publishes this. It's unbelievable how much data flows through Illinois. So we have opportunity to build upon this. So I can go on and on and about how great this state is. We have three world-class universities and several other great universities in this state. We have an unbelievable workforce. In fact, that's what I lead with. When I'm out marketing, I talk more about our workforce than anything. I've had the fortune in my life to invest in companies in 10 different states and in two different countries. And every time I look at other states and other opportunities, I default back to Illinois. Go, Illinois's got the greatest workforce. And the adjective I think is most explicative about our workforce is loyalty. They'll give you the extra half hour. They'll stay late. They'll work harder. And that's been my experience over and over again. I think that's a Midwestern value thing. So it's not exclusive to Illinois, but it's certainly something I think we should be proud of and something we should build upon. There's some big challenges. If you read some of the statistics, we're the state that lost the most population last year. Not something we're proud to talk about. And that's not something I go out and certainly market. We were ranked, when I took this position, 48th. As far as the most business-friendly climate, in other words, third lowest. I'm a huge baseball fan. And as some of you know, I'm a Cardinal fan. But isn't it great to be a Cub fan and to win the World Series? That's what we want Illinois to do. We want Illinois not to be second or third or fifth on the roster or the rankings. We want to be first, and we can be first because we have a lot to talk about, a lot of great things. I'm not going to belabor some of the challenges. I'm letting the governor worry about those. He's the fixer. I'm the guy going to go out and promote and make sure people know how great we are. You know, the other things that in running the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity for the governor, one of the things I found very striking was with a budget of roughly $2 billion and a workforce of 350 people, only 14% of my workforce was devoted to business development, business creation, retention. I think that's one of the most important things commerce can do for a state, to help create more job opportunity, understand what the needs of our current, I call them clients in the state are, how we can help them expand and do further things in the state, how we can recruit new companies to come in. So the Department of Commerce was encumbered with a lot of what I call historical weight and historical challenges. There are eight different divisions, including divisions like tourism and film and things that I was tasked with running, but I quite honestly didn't have a very good background in those areas. So I had great people that I deferred to and let them run those departments. But it became a cumbersome department. So one of the things I looked at, and I was on the governor's transition committee back in 2014, as we looked at different ways that we could build the state and build the state's economy, the predominant thing that came out of that transition committee was create a private economic development corporation. Look at what other states are doing. So when I took the role in the Department of Commerce with the governor's cabinet, I started to study with the team. Andrea Winters is here. Andrea, where's Andrea? Andrea was my cohort, and I can't say enough great things about Andrea Winters, who helped me in that process. We looked at 17 other states that have private economic development corporations. And those 17 states, and this is not an apples-to-apples comparative, but it's the best statistic I can give you. Those 17 states were creating 10% more jobs over the last 5 years than the 33 states that did not. And again, I don't think that's a fair way to analyze it, but that's the best data I can give you. And the thing that we found most striking was they were consistently in the market and out marketing to people. The governor and I went to New York along with Andrea in September, and we met with about 25 site consultants from nine different firms. And one of the things that was very striking to me was they said, for the past 10 years or more, to a person, to 25 people, we've never seen anybody from the state of Illinois. So how can we as a state not get our best story out? So that's what we're doing at Intersect Illinois. So as I transition now to my talking points here about Illinois and Intersect Illinois, that's why we created it, to make the state of Illinois have the best business retention, business attraction division we can have that's only focused on business attraction, business retention, and in rebranding the state. As we've been out marketing and talking about the state, as many of you know, as we travel about the country, we get kind of that apologetic, oh, I'm sorry, you're from Illinois thing. That's not acceptable. That is not acceptable. We're going to change that. So it's Intersect Illinois. The inspiration for that was how do we market our state? How do we talk about how great this state is? We could have an aspirational brand like Michigan's, Pure Michigan. I love that brand. It's a great brand. But we are at a state where I think we have to first convince people we have some great attributes. And so we focused on the great assets of the state. And so the intersection, as I mentioned, those five R's, the intersection of everything that comes into the state. Some of the statistics I can quote ad nauseum to you, but one that's kind of striking to me is 50% of all product that flows through the country flows through Illinois. So Intersect Illinois says a lot about the great state we are, how things where education intersects with commerce, where agriculture intersects with feeding the world. So there's a lot to talk about in Intersect Illinois and why that's a great asset. Some of the things we've aspired to do, and we've stayed to task on this, I committed to the governor that we would not take public money the first few years. We'd do this all with private money. We've had a number of corporations that have stepped up, and some of them in the room, I thank you for that. There's private dollars sponsoring what we're doing today. And I think that's a real testament to the corporations of Illinois. They're saying, this is the right thing for Illinois. This is for the best interests of Illinois. And right now, while we face some of the fiscal challenges that are being discussed in Springfield, this is a different way we can accelerate our growth and opportunity for Illinoisans and for others that want to consider Illinois. So again, I want to thank those companies that are here today. Many of you are here. Thank you. it's very appreciative what you are doing for Intersect Illinois. But the other things we did was we looked at the, I mentioned the 17 states and what they did well, and spent more time actually looking at what they didn't do so well, and some of the what I'll call less than best practices. So we tried to develop Intersect Illinois as an entity that could last for this governor and the next governor and the governor beyond this. And a nonpartisan, truly economic-driven development corporation. So we also set up that we do not approve, Intersect Illinois does not approve nor negotiate any grants or tax credits. That's all done at the state level. And that was for the purpose of making sure that that always stayed in a very visible and public way that it should be. We shouldn't spend state tax dollars and letting somebody privately negotiate that or decide who gets that. So that was a very important element of what we found from other states, that they, in some cases, didn't do so well. They got a lot of press on it. I'm not going to mention any states, but they got in trouble. And so we think it's important, again, that this lasts for decades. So we've tried to create that kind of mechanism. So if we do, or if we're involved in recruiting a company, and there is an edge tax credit as an example, we then will post that online within 10 days of the public announcement or the signing of that document. The other thing we do is we post our board minutes online. We post our donors, who's donating to our cause. And we think that's a best practice, a way to make sure that people can have the ability to look in and see what we're doing. And again, this is something that I want to hopefully hand off someday to someone else, and that person will hand it off to someone else, and this becomes a lasting entity that represents the state of Illinois forever. I'm going to give you real quickly, and then I look forward to the Q&A. I actually like that part of the presentation better than this. Let me tell you of some of our wins. Just in our short 9 months of being in business, we have worked with Amazon. And if you've been following Amazon's story, initially they came to us and said, we'd like to expand our Joliet facility. Our team, which was led by Frank Cho, went and said, tell us more about your long-term strategy. How can we play a role in the long-term strategy of Amazon? How does drone technology play into your future roles? How does Panama Canal expansion play into you, how you transport product from China and maybe up the Mississippi River? And out of that evolved a lot of discussion. Since that time, they have announced they're opening 8 fulfillment centers in the state of Illinois, roughly $400 million CapEx, and they'll be adding at least 7,000 jobs. There is more to come, I promise you. I think there's more opportunity. I spoke earlier with a few people in the room while we were getting together early about another company that Andrea Winters and I went to Germany to recruit, a company called Vetter Pharmaceutical. They've announced they'll be moving their North American headquarters to Des Plaines. We were one of 4 states they were considering. And kudos to ComEd and some of the intelligence they gave us on the I got to call out Ed at Sitter as well. Thank you for helping us, Ed. They helped educate us on energy costs. And if you don't know, the state of Illinois is the 3rd lowest energy cost state in the country. And we were able to compare other states and found that, in general, it's going to cost them about 40% more to be in some of the other states they were considering, or at least their predominant state they were considering. The other thing that was kind of interesting is we talked to them, and we kind of take it for granted, but if you live in Europe, you can get about anywhere in 2 hours. And I don't think they had an appreciation for the country of the United States. And I talked to them about some of my personal private business experience of saying, you know, if you're going to be on, they were looking at one of the coastal states, and I said, or 2 coastal states, if you want to be on the coast, they're great states, never marketed negatively against great states, but you're going to have to plan 2 or 3 days to get to the West Coast to see customers. But if you're in Illinois, because of our great airport system here in Chicago, you can get to San Francisco or Boston or Atlanta or Los Angeles. You can fly out, have lunch, and fly back the same day. Wouldn't recommend it, but you can do it. And there was almost like an epiphany, and you could see them all. There were 5 people. They all took notes, and they wrote it down, and they were like, you know, they hadn't thought about that. And I said, if you're going to manage your human capital in an efficient way, you want to be in the middle part of the country. You want to be in the heart of the country. You want to be in Chicago. You want to be in Illinois. So that was also a compelling feature. And, of course, the workforce was another thing we touted. With some of the things going on up in Lake County with pharmaceutical industry, that's a great leading opportunity for us. One of the other tricks, I'll just tell you kind of a side story. when we were with them, and one of the things I do, because we're under confidentiality with these companies and we can't disclose that we're visiting and we can't put pictures of us up on Facebook. So one of the things I do is I ask them with their phone to take a picture of us gathered together. So they had the five executives and Andrea and myself, and we were all gathered outside of their facility with Vetter in the background. And I said, if we're successful, will you make sure you send this picture to me so we can memorialize our success here? And I woke up one morning in June around 5 in the morning, and there had been an email that came in of a few hours before, and all it was a picture of me with our group. And I knew we'd won. And that's the way we do things. So anyway, that was a kind of a fun story and a fun thing we do as we go out marketing. The last success that I want to real quickly point out is Rivian. I don't know if you know Rivian. It's an automobile and mobility company. They announced this week that they're taking over the former Mitsubishi plant in Bloomington Normal. That's a big deal. If you don't know about automobile plants and what happens to them once they get decommissioned, they take them to the ground. Those buildings largely don't exist after a period of time because they become liabilities. This is a big opportunity for the state. Vic Nerusis was very involved with the Department of Commerce. Vic, raise your hand, please. Vic was very instrumental in this. Thank you, Vic. Yeah. Rivian will be employing up to about 1,000 people and making significant investment in Bloomington Normal. So that's a nice win for the middle part of our state as well. You know, the governor and I traveled as well in October to the West Coast and visited with companies like Tesla and Facebook and Amazon and talked about how great Illinois is. And I think we opened up some of their eyes, and we're having ongoing dialogue with them. Are we going to get any of them to move here? I don't think so. I don't know. We're going to certainly try. But I think it's a lot about getting the message out and getting things out about how great this state is. A couple other things that just, and I'll close quickly. We have also announced two new programs recently. One is called CORE, which stands for Creating Opportunities for Retention and Expansion. And this is a program that's working with the local EDCs to help them get a better inventory of their customers, their clients in their market, and understand how they can help them in their needs as they grow their business. And the other program we announced earlier in 2016 was a program called ADME, Advancement and Development for Minority Entrepreneurs. That program has launched, and we're doing pilot studies with that with a few entrepreneurs to try to help educate them and give them the tools to be better at what they do. And then the final thing I want to note is in 2016, in November, Site Selection magazine noted that Illinois' business climate is improving. We've moved up 10 spots on the chart, so we are nudging it forward. But I want to be at the World Series with the state of Illinois. I'm not going to accept more and more years of us being in second or third place. So we're going to keep fighting. We want to be like the Cubs. We want to intersect Illinois to win the World Series. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Jim.
My pleasure.
Tutopolis. The little giants.
I'm average height in the community I live in, seriously. So very tall people.
I think these people up here in Cook County don't know about the rest of the state, huh? Okay. We've got a number of questions here, and anybody else who has a question, please, I see in the back of the room, Mr. Clark from our staff will pick up those questions. The very first one, from the Blue and Orange, the University of Illinois, Tom Hardy. What role do you see universities playing in recruiting and retaining businesses in Illinois?
Tom, thanks for the question. It is paramount to what we can do to be successful. And we have clearly been working with the University of Illinois, University of Chicago, with Illinois State, other universities, trying to make sure that we're collaborating, because that's our future workforce in large part coming out. But probably as important, there's a lot of great research happening, and we need to figure out ways to capitalize and create economic opportunity out of that. I love what's happening down in Champaign. I've had an office in Champaign about 15 years ago. Research Park did not exist when I had my first office in Champaign. Research Park today, I don't know what it is numbers-wise, but it's probably approaching a couple thousand people work down there, lots of startups. So I think that's a big opportunity for the state of Illinois to use the students, innovation, and the universities as a leading asset opportunity.
Thank you. And, of course, a lot of UofI alums here. Leslie Munger, Andrew, 2015. Dr. Ed Mazur, 1960. And, by the way, Wright and Green, they're going to have, excuse me, Miles, a Portillo's is coming there. Can Superdog be far behind? Okay. This is from John Stephen Bianucci with Iroquois Valley Farms. What's your 10 to 30 year vision for Illinois agriculture?
That's an easy one because that's kind of my background. There's an interesting statistic or a series of numbers that I'd love to quote. These are not my numbers. These are the professionals in the industry. But it's four digits. It's 100, 30, 70, 32. 100, 30, 70, 32. We're going to have to increase food production by 100% in the next 30 years to feed the world. 70% of that's going to come from new technologies, and it's going to be done on 1/32nd of the landmass. Today in the world, we produce on 1/20th of the landmass, or could call it roughly 5%. We're going to shrink that down to about 3.5% of our landmass producing food. If you think about geopolitical risk, you think about environmental risk, and where you can grow crops, I believe there's only one place in the world you can do that. That is in the greater Midwest. I think that is one of our leading opportunities, and one of the things I've been focused on as far as trying to build upon companies like ADM and John Deere and others that exist here in our state, and using that as an eco-center strategy that can make us even more dominant, predominant in feeding the world and feeding the needs of the hungry throughout the world.
Thank you very much, Jim. This is from Judy Thornburg. Are there more people than jobs in our rural areas? Will they need to migrate?
So I think that in some cases, in some counties, yes, that there are more people than jobs. But I think we need to use our community college systems to do more workforce training and to deliver the skills that are needed for that region. I'm a big fan of regional type of collaboration, like Tony Preckwinkle is doing here in this region, to try to bring together multiple counties and work together in a collaborative fashion. So I think there are many challenges throughout the state. There are some counties with double-digit kind of unemployment or people that are in situations where they're not gainfully employed and maybe on welfare or whatever. We need to figure out ways to leverage some of their skills, leverage the community college systems to give them the skills and tools to be more competitive and to have opportunity in the world.
Thank you, Jim. This is from Erin Connolly Martin, sitting over here on my right. She's with Broad Vision Entertainment. As a producer looking to launch film projects in Illinois, what type of incentives or support sets Illinois apart?
Erin, when I took this position with the governor in his cabinet, and I went home and told my wife I was in charge of the film industry, she laughed at me. A little humbling because I'm not a film expert. But to your question, there are some great tax credit programs that we have in the state of Illinois. Chris Dudley has been leading that program for the state. Would love to connect you with Chris and have her educate you even further. But I think there's a lot more we can do. We have some great films that go on now, Chicago Fire, Chicago Med, on and on and on. So we can do a lot more. So would love to connect you with Chris Dudley. If you can get a card afterwards, be happy to do that.
Thank you. In about 2 weeks, another Dick Wolf program called Chicago Justice will be appearing on your program. Anything with Dick Wolf seems to go. Okay. Thank you, Erin. By the way, I see you're not a member of our city club. We invite you to join. Come on. If you're from Phoenix, too bad. Come here. It's a lot warmer here than in Phoenix. Okay. Jeff Malhorn with World Business Chicago. He's the president and CEO. Jim, can you please explain the importance and status of EDGE? And are there ways this room can help you ensure we have tools to remain competitive versus California, New York, Texas, etc.? And he's going to be a member of the City Club. Welcome.
Thank you, Jeff. Good to see you again. Happy New Year. Jeff asked a question for those that don't know. EDGE Tax Program is a tax program that gives companies that are considering adding new jobs to our state, a tax benefit that is offset against their future income taxes over a, typically a 10-year period. That program sunset on December 31st. So currently, as we sit here today in early 17, we do not have an incentive program of any sort to use as a tool in marketing to companies to consider moving in the state. There are currently in Springfield some proposals being floated to either extend that for a few more months or to potentially put a new program in place. It's a critical program for us in our marketing. In fact, I think it's a filter that is pretty consistently used as a determination of whether you're going to get to the second cut of consideration. So if we don't have an edge tax program, for those that are listening or those that are hearing this live, I hope you will consider that this is a bit of a disarmament of the state in our ability to market the state if we don't have an ability to at least have that as something that we have as an arrow in our quiver to shoot when we have opportunities to bring jobs and businesses into the state. Thanks, Jeff.
Great. Jim, you might want to what your good.
Thank you.
This is from Sharon Gorell, who's with Illinois Realtors. While tax incentives are great, oftentimes they're not the deciding factor in locating a business here. What are some of Illinois' best assets that we should be discussing with potential business investors?
So, Sharon, I think I've hit upon some of those earlier, but to maybe refresh a bit, I think workforce is our leading opportunity. The people of this state and the ability to utilize that talent pool. 38% of our population has a community college degree or greater. And I think we can build upon that. That's a pretty high number relative to other states. So workforce is one. Logistics in our intersection of so much that happens here, and I mentioned the five R's. And I think that, one of the things I like to talk about is I like to quote, if you're a hockey fan, Wayne Gretzky's quote, a good hockey player skates to where the puck is, a great hockey player skates to where the puck's going to be. I think the state of Illinois is one of those states that's going to be that state you want to be at. We're not there yet. We got a little work to do. But I think we have so many great assets and so much great opportunity with what the governor's trying to do. I think we can be the predominant state in the country as far as job creation and economic opportunity.
And as long as Jim mentioned hockey, just want to give you a coming attraction in June. The National Hockey League's going to have a big to-do here, right, Laurie, in Chicago. And President Doherty and our executive director, Tweet Thornton, have been in discussions with Gary Bettman, the commissioner, and it looks like we'll have a hockey program here in June. We may even freeze this room, Kirk. This is from Larry Falb. I probably butchered your name, but where are you, Larry? Great. He's a member of the Illinois Enterprise Zone Board. What's the future of state economic development incentives such as enterprise zones, edge credits, etc.? How can they best be used or not be used?
So, Larry Falby, good to see you. Larry, I think the incentives have to be used in a very strategic way. We should not use them as our leading opportunity. I think we need to first convince people to go back to the question the chair asked. What are the assets and why should you be here? And market that way. If we have to add an incentive on top to bring it over the top, then we will do that. But I think I really like the Enterprise Zone program because that's at a local level and can be made at a local decision-making level. I think that gives more autonomy to the mayors and county board chairs in a way that sometimes we at the state level aren't going to be able to develop a program that fits. What fits for Cairo, Illinois, or Granite City, Illinois, may not work so well in Rosemont, Illinois. So we need to be thoughtful about how we can create enterprise zone programs, TIF programs, and other things that can be more done at a regional or local level.
I'll tell you, we really have some great questions here. This is one where the person forgot to sign their name, but it's a good question. Do you know when Archer Daniel Midlands will open up? I assume that's what ADME is.
Yes.
No? I'm sorry, ADME. We'll open up again. Currently, no applications are being accepted.
So, to anonymous, we already completed the program. We accepted the applicants, and we're now going through the training program with them and giving them the tools to hopefully excel and build their businesses. So, we will, after the pilot program is completed, we'll revisit of whether we're going to do a more extensive program throughout the state. So it's probably going to be a few months before we're in a position to decide whether we're going to do a phase two or generation two of that program.
And my apologies to Anonymous. I just didn't recognize Admi. This is a really good question. It's from City Club supporter, frequent speaker, Lawrence Massal with the Civic Federation. Many high wealth individuals, which leaves out everybody in this room, many high wealth individuals have moved their residency to other states that do not have as severe an inheritance tax. Are you looking at this non-competitive aspect of the Illinois tax code?
As I mentioned, when I set up Intersect Illinois, I committed to the governor that we would make this a nonpartisan organization. And so in that role, I've tried to avoid getting involved in policy and in legislative matters that don't have impact upon job creation. So clearly, the estate tax issue does have some impact upon that. I've had friends that have moved from the state and taken their wealth. But as I lead Intersect Illinois, I think that that's best settled by the governor, his team, and the legislatures to figure out what makes the most sense from a tax policy perspective for our state. And we have fiscal challenges, but I think they are the wiser bodies to decide what's best for the state.
Thank you. Richard Ciccheroni, where are you, Richard? Way in the back there. With Merit Research Service, what is a strategy employed by Illinois to retain headquartered companies in Illinois? What about a loyalty tax discount as long as Illinois employee roles are maintained? Very good question.
Great, Richard, great question, because that's the most important client we have. The existing businesses we have, we need to make sure we're taking care of them. That was a part of why we announced the CORE program I mentioned earlier, to try to make sure we understood their needs and how we could help complement what they want to do to grow and expand and understand their five-year strategies and things like that. As far as tax programs, I'll default back to my previous question. That's not my field of expertise or where I want to spend my time. I don't think that's the best use of Intersect Illinois' time for us to be involved in determining what's the best tax or policy program, but I'm happy to relay that to the governor's team and let them know of that idea. I like the idea.
Great. Jessica Babulis with the CHA, Chicago Housing Authority. Jessica, where are you? Okay. Her question is, DCEO has been a go-to resource for funding and resources about energy efficiency and connecting it to job training, affordable housing, municipal building retrofits, energy efficiency development loans. Will this continue to be a part of DCEO?
Those are very important programs to a lot of constituents in the state. And again, I don't run that department today. Sean McCarthy does. But I think that from my understanding, those will continue to be important funded programs that will continue to have exist in the state because they are, I think, serving a wide breadth of constituency that's necessary we continue to take care of.
Thank you. This is from Tim Montague, the gentleman who left his Samsung phone upstairs, but now he has it. So he submitted a question. What is the future of clean, renewable energy in light of the new energy bill? The role of Intersect in that?
Wow. I told you I didn't know much about the film industry. I'm going to have to kick that question to someone else. I don't have a good answer for that. But as far as energy industry and Intersect Illinois, as I mentioned, that's a leading opportunity for us to market. And the energy infrastructure we have in the state with companies like Peoples, you know, ComEd, et cetera, Exelon, that's an opportunity for us to build upon. So as it relates to what Intersect Illinois thinks about energy, we want to be at the table. We want to be involved in making sure we're using that as a leading opportunity to convince companies to move into the state.
Thank you. And this is from a gentleman that you mentioned earlier, Ed Sitar with ComEd. And, Ed, we invite you to join the City Club as a member. We love to have you here as a guest. His question, is foreign direct investment an important focus area for Intersect?
Foreign direct investment, or FDI, is, I think, absolutely critical, particularly in the short term. In our travels overseas in the last 2 years, And we've educated a lot of people on what Illinois has to offer and some of the things I talked about earlier today. It's pretty apparent that we have a very distinct competitive advantage over a lot of states. And one of the things that I talk about in some cases are places like Texas and California that have some water challenges. We have some great water resources. We don't talk about that a lot. When we were in Shanghai two years ago, met with a group of investors and talked about water resource. And if you've been to China and know about their challenges environmentally, that's a pretty important asset. And those are ways that we can market differently. But as it relates to FDI, I also look at what happened in early November as far as the new administration coming in. And I think there's great opportunity for us as a country to go and market to companies that are considering doing business in our country, and in particular in our state. If you're a European company and you don't have presence in North America and you think there's going to be a big infrastructure bill or you intend to build your market presence here, you better make sure that you're part of this North American organization, this North American series of countries. And we think Illinois provides a distinguished capability. I know Jeff Mailhorn's working on some things in FDI, and we're actually going to meet in a couple weeks and try to figure out how we can accelerate that opportunity. You know, whether you're a fan of the current administration or not, it's our current administration. I think we need to figure out a way, how do we build upon that? And I think there will be some pretty interesting things that may come out that could be to our advantage from a competitive standpoint to bring companies over to the United States.
Great question, great answer. We have two last questions. Jason Anderson with the Greater Rochelle Economic Development Corporation. Jason, where are you? Back there. Question is, how will the state of Illinois fund infrastructure for economic development purposes?
Jason, good to see you. If you don't know Jason, you ought to go out to Rochelle and see the great things he's doing out there. Some pretty phenomenal things, so kudos to you, Jason. I think what I've talked to the governor about is potentially a large infrastructure bill. Obviously, that's all subject to getting a budget completed and getting some things, other things done. But the governor, I believe, has a plan for a significant infrastructure bill. We have some pretty big needs here. But I think that ties clearly. If we can do that, that will be very helpful in our economic development efforts.
Thank you. And our final question from Dave Lundy. Dave, where are you today? Right there. He's with Aileron. How often do you hear that Illinois' dysfunction is a reason businesses are not coming here?
We saved the tough question for us.
You know, I don't think it directly comes to us. I think it's indirectly, Dave, that we hear that in other ways. But as long as we can get in front of somebody and tell them about the great attributes of this state, in many cases, we can diffuse that. Not always, but we can. And I think we've been able to be very successful in saying we have a governor that's committed to fiscal responsibility and that we will have a path ahead. And I think companies we're talking to are looking at investment for the next 20 to 30 years, not for the next 1 to 2 quarters. So I think we can overcome that by how we market some of the attributes of the state. And I mentioned earlier about the energy cost in the one example with Vetter Pharmaceutical. That was compelling enough to them that they had benefit of being here over some of the fiscal uncertainty we have today.
Thank you very much. Let's give Jim Schultz a round of applause.